That is a comfort. By the way, again, thank you, Dante, again, too. We appreciate you. Oh, you guys, great job. By the way, thank you, Demita, the driver. All right, take out your Bibles if you guys would. And by the way, we probably haven't said this in a long time. Turn to the book of Numbers, chapter 27. Numbers 27. It's not a place we probably go a whole lot, right? Maybe once a year if you try to read your Bible through. But we're going to begin there today, and we're going to look at a few other things as well. I want to start this morning and say this. How many of us are on a journey? Right? By the way, just about every one of us. You know, I'm thinking about this time of the year. By the way, we want to take a minute. Next week, we're going to pray for all of our students. But we want to pray. We think of a lot of our college students are one by one leaving and getting ready to get situated at school. Our high school, middle school, you know, elementary students will be going real soon as well. But we're all on a journey. You know, we're all going somewhere, transitioning in some kind of way. You know, for some of us, you know, maybe we're going away to college. And by the way, isn't that kind of scary? I think it's probably more scary for us as parents than it is for kids, right? But it's a little bit scary. Some of you guys are going from middle school to high school, you know, and that's scary. Are they going to accept me? You know, am I cool enough, right? That's a big issue, right? You know, or you're going from elementary school to middle school, and that's a transition. And some of us are on different journeys. We're transitioning in our lives. You know, we're moving to, if we were young, we're moving to middle age. If we're middle age, we're moving to upper middle age. or beyond, right? Right, beyond. Right, we're all going someplace where we're transitioning. And, you know, in a scary way, and we have a bunch of us in the church now are in our 60s, right? So things like retirement are standing up sets in the face, and that's kind of scary as well. You're on that journey, you know, or people are on health journeys. Maybe they're battling cancer or battling some health issues, but we're all on these journeys of life, and they're scary places. And the challenge of most of these journeys are they're not real quick. They're long. And the question is, what do we do? And Pastor Anson and I, we've been looking at this series, and Pastor Anson started last week, but Joshua, leading with strength, courage, and character. And I hope that on these journeys that we're all going through, that's how God's going to develop us to be men and women of strength. Men and women of courage, and men and women of character as well, right? And the tagline we put in here was, learning to trust God. And I'll throw this out. You know, we say it, we sing it, we read about it, but it's a lot harder to do it. Can I get an amen on that? Amen. It's harder to do it sometimes, right? And the other thing is, as we do that, hopefully we can inspire others on the journey to trust God as well. And that's kind of where we're headed this morning. So we're going to pick up a little bit where Pastor Ansu left off, and we'll come back to that in just a second. But today's message is called God's Call. And get this, by the way, we think of commitment in church. Who do you usually think is making the commitment? When pastors say, you know, this is a time of commitment, who's making the commitment? Usually. You guys are, right? That's the idea, right? You guys are. And we do make commitments, but I want to talk about this is God's commitment to you and to me. You know, God commits to us so we can hang in there and we can go through these journeys that we need to go through, right? And he gives us some commands that kind of help us on the journey, give us a little bit of guidance. So we'll look at that this morning. And I'll just throw this out. God has called each believer, and get this in your minds, right? Greater spiritual things, not lesser, greater spiritual things. And then we can even imagine. But here's this. How can we know this and really follow him in this unpredictable life? Now, think about this for a second. Yes, feel that. Is life, like, fairly unpredictable? I know we all got our plan. You know, we've been taught plan, you know, plan financially, plan this way, plan that way. But it doesn't always seem to follow the course of my plan. Anybody got that problem? Doesn't always work that way, right? So we're going to look into God's word and figure out how do we do that? And Joshua is a shining example of that. But everybody look up for a sec. Just so we're clear, though, Joshua is every bit as human and a mess as you are and as the preacher is. I'm just teaching and talking about it. It's challenging to live it for me, too, right? But Joshua's a good example of what to do. So we're gonna jump right on in. And the eternal truth I want you guys to walk away with this morning is this. You know, God does call us all. Like, God has a specific plan for our lives. We're all unique. God's brought us through all kinds of other places and journeys and things. And God has a very specific plan for us. And we'll talk about that at the end a little bit more. But God calls us. He commits himself to us. Think about that for a second. The God of the universe commits himself to us. Isn't that kind of amazing? Like, and by the way, you think about this, and, you know, I was in corporate America a long time. How many folks have been in corporate America? Right? A lot of people, right? Did you feel that the CEO was committed to you? Right? Not so much. We've been to the bottom line, maybe the stockholders, but the God of the universe is committed to you, and he's going to be with you, and we'll talk about that, and he gives us these commands, right, to obedient believers to do greater things, and I try to kind of break that down. I'm not sure if I did a good job or not, but God calls believers to do greater things, and here's the cool thing. God equips us in power, and he gives us the word, he gives us the commands, he gives us the Holy Spirit to move us along in faith. And that's, by the way, the biggest challenge. And we said this last week. Remember Pastor Ansel, he preached a dynamic message as we began the series last week, right? But we said this, you know what? Underneath all of these things is a spiritual issue. And that's what we want to kind of dig into a little bit more this morning, right? So here's the introduction, by the way. Thinking back to last week, what have you learned about God and what foundations of faith have been built in your earlier years? And I want y'all to think about that for a quick second this morning. What have you learned about God and what are the foundations of faith that God has built in your life in these earlier years on this journey? Stop. Just think about that just for a second. What are some things that, man, you saw God do stuff, and you're like, wow, I can trust God. Think about that. And I'm going to throw this out, by the way, for some of us older folk. Can you remember the events that led up to that? But think about that. Think about some of the events that God has brought you through. And you said, man, I can trust God. You know, I can trust God. It's really true. God's real. I know I read about it in the Bible, but I saw him do something in my own life that was greater than I could have imagined. Right? And that's kind of what Pastor Ansley was talking about last week with Joshua. Like, Joshua didn't just rise up and become a general overnight. Joshua went through the school of suffering, the school of training, the school of issues and struggles and all those things that we hate, to become the man that God called him to be and developed him to be so he could take the lead at this next place. So hopefully you guys are thinking about some of the things that God has already done. And I want to throw out, here's the first point, by the way. We can almost just preach this one point to him and say, that's enough, Pastor Gary. We're going to go home and just really dwell on that issue. But God chooses, and get this in your mind, spirit-filled leaders. Now, everybody, look up. I have to be careful because I'm going to get in trouble when I go home and say, you said look up a lot. But here's the idea, right? Some of you guys are saying, well, I'm not a leader. No, you are. Because God's called all of us to lead. And it might be in our family. It might be on our job. It might be in our community. It might just be on your street. It could just be a small group of people. But God has called us as believers in Jesus Christ to lead. And here's the key thing for all of us to get hold of, right? God chooses what kind of leaders? Read it with me again. Spirit-filled leaders, right? And we're going to talk about what that means. So let's dig in. Go with me to Numbers chapter 27. And by the way, I read this, Warren Wiersbe's a commentary we're using for the book. It's called Be Strong, which is a good name, right? And, he said this. He said, leaders lead, but leaders don't lead forever. And by the way, isn't that kind of scary? Like one day, and not that long off maybe, I won't be here. Right? And you guys in your jobs, right? We can go around the room. One day, we might not be here. Right? Someone else will take over our job. By the way, this is God's church. It was never Gary's church. It wasn't even Pastor Montgomery's church, and he laid a strong foundation, but it's God's church. So one day, we're going to step away, right? And whatever we do, we could have been the CEO in our job, and one day, we'll step away. We could be the head of a lot of things. One day, we'll step away. And check this out. And Moses, by the way, he realized this, and we all need to realize this as well. And he says, now the Lord said to Moses, go up into this Mount Abarim and see the land which I have given to the children of Israel. And when you have seen it, you also shall be gathered to your people as Aaron, your brother, was gathered. By the way, that's a nice way of saying, he said, you know what, Moses, I'm going to let you look at the land and then you're going to die. It was kind of a little smoother. You're going to be gathered to your people, right? But he said, you're going to die. Your job is done. And he says this. He says, for in the wilderness of Zin, during the strife of the congregation. By the way, check this out. Moses, by the way, was he a good leader? He was. But he's like us. And by the way, I have to confess, sometimes I get mad. And then usually what follows that usually isn't that helpful. Right? But Moses, he got mad at the children of Israel. Remember? God was going to bring water out the rock, and he still did. And he said to Moses, Moses, speak to the rock. And Moses, in his anger, said, doggone it, bam, bam, and hit the rock. And God, in his grace, the water still came out. But that prevented him from really experiencing the fullness of the promised land. And I say that even as leaders, even as God's people, there are consequences to our actions and our reactions that we have to stand with, we have to live with. In this case, Moses, now he's on the other side of this, and he's learned, and he says, hey, guess what? The Lord tells Moses, you're going to die, and look what Moses says. And I'll just finish it. He says, during the strife of the congregation, you rebelled against my command to hallow me. In other words, God was meant to be lifted up at that point as the ultimate provider of water, like the water of life to us. And Moses kind of really messed that up at that moment, right? And as a result, he didn't go in. And he called, they said, these are the waters of Meribah at Kadesh in the wilderness of Sin. By the way, the idea of Meribah means bitterness, right? And the people were bitter. They were like, Moses, why did you bring us out here so we can die of thirst and hunger? And by the way, they said that a whole bunch of times. I praise God for you guys as a congregation. You guys, we all put our heads together, usually we make decisions, and we feel like if God's leading us that way, y'all follow, right? The children of Israel, they did that some, but when it got real hard, they said, Moses, see you later, right? But look what Moses said. Moses kind of understood he was going to leave, but he's not going to leave forever. And he said this, and Moses spoke to the Lord saying, let the Lord, the God of the spirits of all flesh, set a man over the congregation. And he wanted someone to be a leader for the children of Israel. And look what he said. He says, who may go out before them and go in before them, who may lead them out and bring them in, that the congregation of the Lord may not be like sheep which have no shepherd. By the way, and that kind of that is really insightful for Moses, because he said, you know what? And Moses, by the way, he experienced the good, the bad, and the ugly of the nation of Israel. But he said, hey, you know what, God? I know I'm not going in, but Lord God, raise someone up who is going to be a leader so that these people can be shepherded to follow you. So, by the way, isn't that a good thing as a leader to say, you know what? I've carried the ball, my leg of the journey. Now I got to hand the ball off. And I'm telling you, even for us as in the body of Christ, we got to get better at that, because sometimes I think we act like we're going to live forever. But the news is we're not. And we got to develop that next generation and pray for God to bring that people, they'll bring those people up, right? That's such an important thing in the Church of Christ right now, that bring up that next generation has to really grab that ball and take leadership seriously, right? And Moses does that. But then check out what he says. I want you guys to get a hold of this point. It says, "And the Lord said to Moses, take Joshua, the son of Nun, with you." And by the way, just get this in your mind. A man in whom, and read it for me, is what? Is the Spirit. A man in whom is the Spirit. "And lay your hand on him and set him before Eleazar the priest and before all the congregation and inaugurate him in their sight." This is like January 20th in America, right? He says, you know what? Lift him up. Make sure he's a man who has the Spirit. We use that idea about being filled with the Spirit. Remember that word means, right? When we're filled with the Spirit, it means we are spiritually controlled by the Spirit of God. And by the way, what does that mean? Everybody look up for a second. What does that mean? What's that mean to be controlled by the Spirit of God? What does that even mean? Sounds so church-like, doesn't it, though? What does it mean? It means that we have a spirit of obedience, a spirit that seeks God's way, not my way. We tend to be more selfless when we go that direction. You know, we're going the right direction if we are our spirit controlled. We're not going our direction, we're going God's direction. And there's things that come out of that, which we'll look at in a second. So look what happened. And it says, "And you shall give him some authority, that all the congregation of the children of Israel may be obedient. He shall stand before Eleazar the priest, who shall inquire before the Lord for him by the judgment of the Urim." And you guys might say, what is that? Everybody, I'll explain that real fast. The priest, he wore this vest. It was called an ephod. And inside the vest were these stones that were called Urim and Thummim. And these stones were used by the priest, because they were the closest ones to God, to discern the will of God. And by the way, I don't have a vest like that. I don't think Pastor Ansu does either, right? But the idea was they could discern the will of God. And he said, when you choose this guy, bring him up, take him to Eleazar, right? And inquire before the Lord for him by the judgment of the Urim. In other words, let's make sure he's the guy. And by the way, he was. And it says, at his word, they shall go out, and at his word they shall come in, he and all the children of Israel with him and all the congregation. And look what Moses did. So Moses did as the Lord commanded him. He took Joshua and he set him before Eleazar the priest, before all the congregation, and he laid his hands on him and inaugurated him just as the Lord had commanded Moses. So boom, he got selected. Everybody look up. Why did he get selected? Because he was a man, what? In whom is the Spirit of God. And I'm going to throw this out. As believers, we all have the Holy Spirit. He didn't get given to just some of us. He got given to all of us, and we got all of him when we got him, the moment we got saved. Our challenge is we don't give ourselves to him so much. We don't listen when we know what we need to do is right or whatever, or it's wrong, we need to go a different way, right? So I want to take you to that thought, the character of the Spirit-filled person. And I want to ask this question, right? Which one of these matches us the best? And got, kind of remember in the scriptures, we look at Galatians chapter 5, right? It says, here is a person who is dominated and controlled by the flesh. Here's a person who is controlled by the Spirit. And Joshua has the Spirit. And check it out. Look what it says. Now, the works of the flesh are evident. And you guys all see them, right? We see them all the time. Which are, and he lists kind of the big sins, right? Adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery. But then it gets into the sins that we like to not talk about too much. Hatred. By the way, there's a book written. It was called, and Nancy Long, you've taught this to your class. What was the name, Nancy Long? No, it was called The Acceptable Sins. Yeah. And like in church, right? You know, man, don't be doing no sexual sin because we're going to call you out. Right? Don't murder someone. We're calling you out. But if you want to hate your brother in secret, we don't call you out. Right? But we ought to call you out because they're all the same. They all separate us from God. That's the problem, right? But he says the works of the flesh are evident, right? So if you see hatred, contention, jealousy, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambition, dissension, you know, causing of disunity, heresy, false teaching to kind of really get your way or get your power is the idea of heresy, envy, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and the like, of which I tell you beforehand, just as I also told you in the past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. So the works of the flesh are all those things, and by the way, we need to call them all out, and we need to forsake them all and get away from them all. And by the way, that's the job of the body of Christ, is when we see those things, not just the bad ones, but the little ones, because they're the seeds of the bad ones too, call them out. But call them out with humility. Not like we're perfect, but call your brother out and address those things, your brother, your sister, right? But then he contrasts this, and he said, but the fruit of the Spirit is this, right? And by the way, this must look like Joshua. Love, joy, peace. By the way, peace is not just an absence of violence and those things, but a peacefulness of heart, you know, just a quietness, right? Long-suffering. By the way, praise God that Joshua was long-suffering, because he probably would have killed the children of Israel, all of them, right? And that's the idea of long-suffering, right? And by the way, think about this. How many moms are here? Raise your hand if you're a mom. You might be a grandmom. You got bumped up, right? Don't you need a little long-suffering with those kids? I mean, they're cute, they're beautiful, they're wonderful, you love them, but there are points in your life that you want to take them right to heaven. Right? I mean, we're seeing this in our little grandson, Levi, right? He has a biblical name even, right? But he can be like a monster, right, at times, right? You know, like, where did this kid come from? And you guys, look, me and Jane, like, what? You know, me and Jane, Sarah, Brendan, there he is, right? Like, what? Right, but long-suffering is so important, right? And think about that as a leader, right? We got to have those fruits. We got to be Spirit-filled people because we can't do it. And by the way, didn't I work in Bible school? A lot of things happen. I see Jill in the back there. She's hiding. No, I'm kidding. She's not. But Jill, did you want to kill any of us during Bible school? Maybe. She's not going to say it, you know, in church, but ask her quietly, like in the ladies' room. She might tell you the truth, right? But seriously, right? Like, we need that characteristic. And that's what God wants us to be, is that kind of person. You know, someone who's long-suffering. Kindness. Just like a sweetness and a grace and a love for people. That's the kind of leaders that we need. Not leaders that just want to cut us off, but leaders that want to drag us through and get us where we need to be, right? Goodness. And how about faithfulness? I'm sure Joshua looked at God like Moses. Moses said, God, these are your people. You know, anybody wants to quit a million times, you know, faithfulness, gentleness. And even that, how about when we confront people, and I'm not always good at that, right, Reverend God? Me and God, we duke it up all the time, don't we? Don't we, brother? We do. He said amen. We do, but, you know, it's not always pretty. You know, but we have to have that gentleness and that sweetness to go, hey, man, we're trying to. I'll throw this out. When we do ministry together at church, the objective of the ministry is never in doubt. It's how we do it. That's what we fight about, right? We fight about the how, not the why, not the what, but the how is always gets in the way, right? We got to have that long-suffering and that gentleness and that self-control. And I'll throw this out. When God called Joshua, he was that kind. And I want to ask you guys, right? Think about this just for a quick second. In your life, are you like that? Does that match up? Which one of these matches you? The work of the flesh or the work of the Spirit? And by the way, the answer probably is what? See both of these. right? But here's the idea. God wants it to become more and more be as we grow older. I will never forget, I met this guy at Word of Life years and years ago. And I'm kind of getting there old, right? But this guy was old. He was old, right? But he was still like an amazing biblical scholar, teacher. He was the most gentle guy I like ever saw. He could just talk to everybody. He was just like a normal person. He was really, like, he's like one of the, you know, celebrity kind of like Bible scholar preachers, but he was just so gracious. That's what God wants us to be, right? I don't know about you, I'm not there yet. But we gotta work on that. That's what God wants us to be. So we need to be spirit controlled. And we're gonna kind of segue on. And I'll just pick this other last part up. Such an important thing for being a leader. At any level. Okay? And here it is. Book of Ephesians chapter 5. I'm just going to skip on down. You know, Paul starts out, he says, walk circumspectly. Be aware of what's going on. Don't walk as a fool, right? Redeem the time. The days are evil. They're short too. Understand what the will of the Lord is. And he says this phrase, which we get so confused about. He's like, and be not drunk with wine. By the way, wine is not the issue here. Good idea. Don't be drunk with wine because it makes you do bad things, right? It makes you think erroneously a lot. But here's what he says. Which is dissipation, he says, or which is excess. He says, but be controlled, filled with the Spirit. And by when I want to kind of measure this again, just as we think about ourselves, right? Look what he says. What does it look like to be controlled by the Spirit? And he says, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Not screaming, not yelling, not hollering, not accusing, not slandering, not criticizing. We can critique each other, we can help each other, but we're not like just picking out what they do wrong. That's easy, right? And then he says this. How about this? Giving thanks always for all things to God. So someone who's spirit controlled is like thankful, not just looking for the next thing that they want, but they're thankful for what they already have. And by the way, isn't it kind of cool to know people like that, to be that kind of leader where they're just thankful, like praise God, like just sweet in their spirit, right? And then he says this, he says, and this is the last one, submitting to one another in the fear of God. Ooh, that gets hard right there. In other words, listening to someone else. And I'll throw this out, being teachable. And by the way, don't think you have to be teachable because I know everything. Because I don't. But we all need to be teachable by each other. You know what it says? Submitting to one another in the fear of God. I'm submitting to God as I submit to you. You probably know more than I about a lot of stuff. So I submit myself that way. And by the way, isn't that great for a leader? It keeps leaders from making a lot of mistakes because they just think they know everything or they're so proud or they're so, you know, haughty about everything. But if I'm a leader that listens, man, that's going to be better. Even as parents, sometimes we have to listen to our kids. I say sometimes, all the time. Right? Listen, what are they saying? You know, what are they talking about? What's going on there? We got to listen, right? So I ask that question. Is that us? Where are some areas that we need to improve on that? What are some of the struggles? You know, maybe we don't listen so good. You know, I know my wife tells me this to me. Sometimes, listen, I'm talking about this. You know, and sometimes my mouth is going 1,000 miles an hour. You know, and that's not good, right? You know? That must be the Holy Spirit right there. Listen, baby, listen, right? Amen. Hey, we all been there. Whoever's phone that is, it's cool. It's all good. It's all good, right? All right, so check it out. Does your life look like you are controlled by the Holy Spirit or something or someone else? That's a good question, isn't it? And that's a key step here in this picture, right? If we're going to follow God, we got to look like that, okay? And that's the goal. And there definitely got to be some things that we could change in our lives, you know, starting right up here on the platform. But check this out next, and we're going to kind of pick up the pace here. God commits to protect, equip, and empower his people. Because I'll throw this out. The key phrase, and Moses, you read it so well, right? What's the key phrase of Joshua chapter 1, Deuteronomy chapter 31? He says, be what? Be strong and of good courage. Let me ask this question. Does he mean be strong? Does he mean that? It's not physical. Yeah. By the way, it could be translated, be courageous and be courageous. And by the way, this is the issue. God commits to protect, equip, and empower his people. So we can be strong when we have our faith planted in the God who is strong, all-knowing, all-powerful, all-present, right? Like, that's what he's talking about. That this being strong is not just a physical strength. It's a strength of the heart that is rested on God. That's what he's trying to get us to think about, right? And I want you guys to get this in your mind, because I think, like I said, this in church, when we say we're gonna talk about commitment, everyone's thinking, he's talking about me. You know, they want me to go serve in the hospitality, and that's going to be my commitment. Or they want us to go work in the food pantry, that's my commitment. But what I'm talking about is God has committed to you and to me, right? And look what it says here. It says, Moses charges Israel. So Moses, by the way, he's passing the baton of leadership, and he says, then Moses went, he spoke these words, turn to Deuteronomy 31, get the whole picture. Moses went and spoke these words to all of Israel, and he said to them, I am 120 years old. By the way, I wonder what he looked like. You know, how did he look? Did he look good still? I don't know, but God gave him great strength. He said, I'm 120 years old. I can no longer go out and come in. And the Lord said to me, you shall not cross over this Jordan. And listen to what he says. By the way, he is speaking this word. Look what it says in verse 1. To all Israel. He's speaking this word to the people that are going to follow the next leader. And he says this. He says, the Lord your God himself crosses over before you. He will destroy these nations from before you, and you shall dispossess them. And by the way, you know what's happening? The land of Canaan, the land of Israel, it did not belong to Israel. It belonged to all these other people, and God was going to dispossess those people from the land and give it to his people. And just to understand, and we'll cover this in the days and the weeks ahead, when Joshua took Jericho by walking around with his army around the city and the walls fell down when they shouted, it was a work of God, not a work of men. Right? And he says this, and I want to throw this out. As we all experience steps in our journey, problems in our life, we got to remember this fact, right? The Lord your God crosses over before you. Like, you are not walking this journey by yourself. God crosses over before you. And he says that. And he says, he will destroy these nations. He's going to dispossess them. He's going to do it. By the way, notice I tried to underline here. The star of this picture here isn't Joshua. It's the Lord, the Lord, the Lord, the Lord, the Lord. Like, God's going to do that. And I throw this out. That's why we can be strong and of good courage, because you and I don't have to do it all by ourselves. And I just continue. He says, so Joshua himself crosses over before you, just as the Lord has said, and the Lord will do to them as he did to Sion and Og. And you guys are going, who is that? They were two other kings that God in his power overthrew for the nation of Israel, okay? And he says, and the Amorites, right? By the way, they're like a continual thorn in the side of God's people, right? And their land. And it says, and by the way, who destroyed them? It says, and he destroyed them. The Lord will give them over to you that you may do to them according to every commandment which I've commanded you. And then here's the phrase. And by the way, it's repetitive. Be strong and of good courage. Do not fear nor be afraid for them. For the Lord your God, he is the one who goes with you. He will not leave you nor forsake you. Isn't that awesome, right? And that's the point, by the way. Our lack of fear, our courage, our ability to step forward is not because we got it. It's because God's got it. Does that make sense? You know, we use that phrase a lot. I got it. Don't we say that out? Yeah, I think I'm looking at Mark. You know, we talk about doing jobs around church, and Mark will say this, I got it. Right? And praise God, he does have it, but I praise God, God's got it before Mark got it. Right? And that's a good thing. That's what we're talking about, though. Like, I can be confident, I can lead, and you can follow, and the nation of Israel can follow Joshua because God's got it. Right? That's the point. He wants us to understand that. And everything, right, this is the foundation of moving forward on our journeys of life. That's the key, right? And I'm going to just take it down. So Moses, by the way, first he tells all the people of Israel, be strong and of good courage. And he says, Joshua is going to cross over before you, and God's going to cross over before him. Then he goes to Moses and it says, then Moses called Joshua, and he said to him in the sight of all Israel. He probably called him, brought him right up so they could see him. And look what he says. Be strong and of good courage, for you must go with this people to the land which the Lord has sworn to their fathers. Everybody, you know, here's a funny thing. I'll say it. That's how we feel sometimes, isn't it? Right? He says, I want you to be strong and of good courage. You must go with this people. Now, here's the funny thing. Joshua walked with Moses. Did the children of Israel always follow Moses? Remember Pastor Anthony talked about last week? They said, hey, we want to go back to Egypt where they have leeks and onions. I know y'all are hungry, right? I don't know if I'm going back to Egypt for leeks and onions, you know? But that's what the guy's saying. It's like, we're going back. We're going to go back to slavery where they have leeks and onions. We're not going to follow you no more, Moses. So Joshua could have said, man, these people are crazy. God, don't make me the leader. Right? And he continues. And it says, and you shall cause them to inherit it. And the Lord, he is the one who goes before you. By the way, Cassie, you just sang it. Didn't you sing it, Cassie, right? You should come back up and sing it again. No. But he goes before us. He'll be with you. He won't leave you. He won't forsake you. When you are a follower of God. That's kind of cool, right? And that's why we can move forward on our journey. And again, we'd be here a long time. We could go around the room, give the microphone. What's the journey you're on? Got a health issue. Transitioning in life. Gone to a new grade in school. Gone off to college. Thinking about leaving my job, getting a new job. You know, worried about this, right? Whatever it is, we could go around. Praise God. God goes before you. And he's not going to leave you there. He's not going to forsake you, right? And that's what I want us to kind of think about in this life, by the way, with all the craziness of this world that we're living in. God crossed over first. God crossed over first, right? And we're just going to take it down. God commands his leaders to follow him. So we go right to Joshua chapter 1, and we'll pick it up in Deuteronomy 31, right? Just a quick reminder. Seems like this is pretty repetitive. God keeps saying it. By the way, when God says it a whole lot of times, we ought to probably listen. You know, it's kind of like a parent says, if I tell you this one more time, you know, it usually means you're about to get the Board of Education. Right? In our day. In your day, they use a piece of paper. They don't use the board, right? But he says, be strong and of good courage. Do not fear nor be afraid of them. For the Lord your God, he is the one who goes with you. He will not leave you nor forsake you. So in Deuteronomy 31, let me just remind you, Joshua, don't be afraid. He's going to go before you, right? He's not going to leave you. And then he says it again in Joshua chapter 1. Moses read this, right? By the way, isn't it interesting that we have Moses here? We're talking about Moses. Right? But check it out. Repetitive command. And I want you guys to get this in your mind. We're going to kind of go through this kind of quick. But look what he says. He says, after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spoke to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' assistant, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise, go over this Jordan, you and all this people, to the land which I am giving to them, the children of Israel. I want to throw this out. Notice what God does. Before he actually sends him out, God says this, I'm committed to you, Joshua. Look what he says. Every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given you. As I said to Moses, from the wilderness of this Lebanon, by the way, you know the picture of the map, I was just going to put that in here, Lebanon up there in the north, way up above Israel, from the wilderness of Lebanon, as far as the great river Euphrates, all the way to the east, right? All the land of the Hittites, that's up to the north further up, and to the great sea, which is what? The Mediterranean. Toward the going down of the sun shall be your territory. And by the way, the sun goes down in the west, so it's like east to west, he's kind of laid it out, north to south, he's laid it out, and he says, wherever you walk, that's where you're going to go. God's going to take you there. And he says, no man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, I will be with you. I will not leave you nor forsake you. So I want to throw this out. So again, before he launches him out, and he already said it multiple times through multiple people, he said, guess what? I'm committed to you. Everybody look up. You know what? God is committed to you. God is committed to you. You know, if you're pursuing God's dream, God's vision for your life, God's committed to you. And even if you go off track and take a detour, God is committed to you. And he'll bring you back from that journey, right? And again, look what he says. Again, that repetitive command, be strong and of good courage. And that means what? Be courageous and be courageous. Be strong in your faith in the Lord. For this people you shall divide as an inheritance of the land which I swore to their fathers to give them. Only be very strong and very courageous that you may observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you might prosper wherever you go. And I want to stop and just say this for a quick second here. The course of success, and by the way, this it says 1-9. It's really the last two verses, 8 and 9. Look what he says, because you're probably saying, okay, I'm on this journey. God said he's going to be with me. Okay, where do I go? How do I go? Right? And look what he says. The book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it, for then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. So I'll throw this out, right? Are we all on a journey? Can I get an amen?
Amen,
amen, right? That was sort of weak.
Amen.
Some people are on a journey. They're in dreamland, right? No, I'm kidding. We're all on a journey, right? Amen.
Amen.
How do I make sure I'm proceeding the right direction? What is the global positioning system, GPS, that makes sure I am going the right way? The Word. The Word, right? And I'll throw this out. How many of you, by the way, how many people have used the GPS? Some of you guys hate it, I know. I hate that thing, but... You use it, right? How many times have you been using the GPS and you're going, this way seems crazy. I'm not going that way, right? And then it turns out like you just saved like a half hour from your trip. Anybody been there? Right? And then some of you guys, I say, how many people been lost? You go, yeah, I've been lost too. I remember one time way, way back, we were up in the Poconos. We had our kids, right? And instead of driving like on a main road, all of a sudden we went off onto a dirt road. And it must have been a place where people were hunting because my kids go, there's bullet holes in the sign. And by the grace of God, we did get from the south to the north in one piece. We had no bullet holes in the car. But it seemed like it was just the craziest way to go. But it did cut off all this distance, right? And it was the right way. And I say that about God's word. Like, God's word tells us to be kind, be gracious, be long-suffering. And we're like, man, I just want to pop that guy. Right? That would be the wrong way. But God's way is what? Right. And it leaves a whole lot less carnage in our family, with our friends, in our church, wherever we're going, right? If we follow God's way, we won't beat each other up so much, right? That's the idea. And he says that, and I just want to kind of challenge us that. By the way, here's our challenge of our day. We are all time bankrupt. Like, there's not enough time. You know, this life is just so crazy, you can barely... The word for you today takes like 5 minutes, and it seems like we don't have it some days, right? You know, but that kind of, that hurts us because we end up making decisions with our flesh and our emotions, not with the principles of the Word of God, right? And remember, God's going before us. Let's follow Him and let's do it His way, right? Does that make sense? And I'm gonna end on that this afternoon, right? And I just leave us with this thought as we kind of end. And by the way, this is Solomon, and we know this. But this is probably a lot of your favorite verses. But just listen to the words that, you know. And Solomon, by the way, he learned it from God. He got the revelation from God, and then he learned it the hard way through life. But look what he said. He says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart." And by the way, here's our problem. Lean not on your own understanding. When we look at life, right, we see it and we go, man, I know God says do this, but if I do that, man, I'm not going to do that. Don't lean on your understanding because it's weak. It doesn't see beyond the moment, right? It says, in all your ways, acknowledge Him. Whatever you're going to do, do it acknowledging God is God and He gets to make the decision. And then he says, and He'll direct your path. Think about Joshua, right? And we'll deal with this again coming up. Joshua chapter 6, right? The walls of Jericho. Hey, Joshua, I know it's a fortified city. And remember Pastor Anthony said this last week. I know none of the people, although there's like a million of you, have ever fought in a battle before. But here's what I want you to do. Go walk around Jericho 7 times. Don't say a word on the first 6 days, but on the last day, shout and blow the trumpet, and the walls will come down. Who's signing up? We're going over to Jericho. It seems crazy, right? Like, what? I never fought a battle before, but I never heard anyone who fought a battle like that. But the reason we do that is because God went over before us. He gave us the city. He gave us the land. He's going to dispossess those people from it. So I got to do it His way, I guess, right? But boy, that seems crazy, doesn't it? And that's what he says, right? And he says, don't be wise in our own eyes, kind of along that same line. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. It'll be health to your flesh and strength to your bones. Honor the Lord with your possessions and with the first fruits of your increase. And your barns will be filled with plenty, and your vats will overflow with new wine. And the idea is that if I walk God's way, His desire is to bless. Not everything I want, but everything I need. Right? And I just want to challenge us, you know, with that thought today. You know what? We're all on this journey. Be strong and of good courage. Because the Lord our God will not, what? Leave us nor forsake us. And He's already got the battle won. We just got to kind of walk through and follow. Amen? We're going to close with a word of prayer. Father God, thank You for Your word today. Thanks, Lord, for the power that it gives us, Lord. The understanding, Lord, the key to unlock the journeys of our lives. And I pray, dear God, no matter what journey we're on right now, I pray, Lord, that we would not depart from your word, that we would not turn to the right or the left, but, Lord, we would just do things the way that you want us to do it. And I ask, dear God, that you would just work in our life, Lord, in that way. Father, increase our faith and our confidence in you. Father, help us to know, Lord, that you are crossing over before us. And I pray, dear God, that you would just do a work now in our hearts and in our minds. And Lord, I ask these things in Jesus' name with thanksgiving. Amen. Before the praise team come, I want to ask you guys a question. Y'all on a journey, right? How are you going to go now? What are you going to remember? What are you going to remember? The Lord's with me, right? He's with me. He's not going to leave you, not going to forsake you. Be strong and of good courage. Praise team, will you come? They were already coming anyway, by the way, so.
Everyone, please stand with us as we sing Take My Life.
It's kind of like we don't need a closing prayer, do we? Right? Like that was kind of it, wasn't it? Think about that. You said, take my what? Take my heart, right? Take my mind. And the hardest part is what? Take my will and conform it to God's. But here's why we can do it, right? Because we know He goes before us.
Amen.
Right? He's going to go before us. He's going to give us what He promised us. And He's never going to leave us nor forsake us. So I want to encourage you all, you know what? Let's go on the journey with God. Let's take the journey, right? God's got higher things planned for us. Better things planned for us. By the way, eternal things planned for us. Let's close with prayer. Father God, we just speak, Lord, with our mouth the words of that song. Take our mind, take our heart, take our will. And dear God, transform us and conform us to your will. Father, we ask, Lord, that we would go this week into our journey, wherever it might lead us, Lord. And I pray, Father God, that you would help us to understand wherever that journey goes, you're going first. And I pray, Lord, that you would just work now in our hearts and in our minds. Father, take us out into our Jerusalem. Help us to be salt and be light, Lord, to our family, our community, our friends. And dear God, use this week for your glory, I pray. And I ask it in Jesus' name with thanksgiving. Amen. Amen. Everybody have a great week.